This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I am getting flooded with text messages on our guest Kayla, who was here last half hour. And a lot of people are saying, just have the wedding anyway. And I don't think you understand that the state of Washington has put the fear into these vendors. And the caterers, the venue, the florists, the photographer, they are all afraid that Jay Inslee will take away their business license if they work an event that is over the Jay Inslee prescribed maximum. And so, yeah, I think she should go ahead and do it. And like I said, if Jay Inslee tries to mess up the wedding of this young woman and her active military husband-to-be, then it's really time for Jay to go. Because none of these restrictions are based on science or health or data or any of that. The data daddy has struck again. But, yeah, it's real easy to say, tell her just do it anyway. Forget about Jay Inslee. All of these vendors are scared to death that they're going to lose their livelihood forever. Because that's what Jay Inslee's doing. And if any story has best illustrated how freakishly capricious the governor is with these restrictions, I don't know a story better than this one. I'm just carrying around all this, the burdens of other people. So I got Kayla and her wedding here. And then, Nicole, can we tell people why you've been off for a couple of days here?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I have the Rona.
I got COVID.
Really bad timing. Really unfortunate, but I'm okay, so that's okay. That's good.
You said today you feel almost back to normal, but you were in the middle of your two vaccines when you got it. Is that right?
No, I got Johnson & Johnson, but I think I contracted COVID 2 days before I got the vaccine. So I didn't have symptoms yet, but too little too late.
Well, and do you mind me sharing the impact of this for you?
Yeah, and maybe. I will say I do know how I got it because my brother tested positive, and we had Easter together. And the good news is that my parents and my grandma, who are also at Easter, are vaccinated and did not get COVID, whereas my youngest brother and his wife, me, my other brother and his wife, all did. And so it was their Easter super spreader. And my brother, who originated, had almost no symptoms.
Yeah. So, and the reason why this is the worst possible timing is you have a milestone birthday coming up. And can we share what your plans were?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so for my 40th birthday, five of my friends and myself were all flying to Kona next week. And so I have been very good. All of my other friends are actually first responders other than one. And so they're all in the vaccinated, they've been vaccinated for a while. And so I had five friends and myself all going to Kona for my 40th birthday. But of course you have to test negative before you go. So I was on lockdown, and the only thing, like, Easter was the only thing I had planned this month, because then I was going to be good and not go anywhere, just not taking any chances. But now it looks like they might have to go to Hawaii without me, and that has been an emotional, not a roller coaster, it's just an emotional drop for me.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, well, we were both kind of under the weather the last couple of days. we've been talking a lot on the phone. I'm just so sorry that it's coming down like this.
I'm grateful that it wasn't worse. I never had a temperature, and I mean, I have a cough, and I mean, the headache is real. But that was why I missed a couple days, because I could not look at a screen. My head hurt so bad. But it could be worse, and I am very grateful that I expect to fully recover. And you know, people in my family that could have been a lot worse off aren't, and are safe from it. So I'm trying to think of those things. But
and what are the chances? I know you've been researching this. Is there any chance, since you just got the positive test, that by next Tuesday, the day before you're supposed to go to Hawaii, that you can test negative? Or is that almost impossible?
Oh, yeah. No, there's a chance. I mean, people typically, from the onset of symptoms, the average time to test negative is like 19 days. I'll be at 17 days. So if I'm at the quicker end of it, then hopefully I would. Some people test positive for 3 months. It's very case by case. So there's no way to plan it.
Okay. So there is still a slim chance that you'll be able to go for the 40th birthday celebration.
I'm hanging on to that sliver.
Yeah.
We thought about postponing, but I got to tell you, Hawaii is very popular right now. We booked this in December, hoping everything would work out. And right now, you cannot find a place to stay until August or September. I kind of looked into postponing it, but it looks kind of out of the realm.
I'm getting sick of all of this. I'm done with all of this stuff, man.
I know, because in reality, I will be recovered. Like, I will definitely not be contagious. As of probably tomorrow, I'm out of the contagion zone. And so I will definitely, and to me, it's been just kind of a nasty cold. And so to me, it's really frustrating that in another week, I couldn't get on a plane knowing I wasn't contagious. I've been vaccinated and, I'll be done with this by then, but I still can't plan on it. So it's very frustrating to me, but again, it could be worse.
I have a question, Nicole. In all seriousness, you have a small kitten, a new kitten at home, and there's been talk about possibly pets, maybe contracting COVID. Is there anything with Brooks? Have you found?
I've looked into that too. I was worried about him. He's the only person I've seen in the last 7 or 14 days, but it's like possible for cats to get it, but he's showed no signs, so
that's good.
Yeah, he's still a beast. He's kind of a biter, so we're dealing with some things.
And look, I admitted, I went on the air yesterday and I admitted some vulnerabilities, because a few months ago is when we first got the story about the bird flu that was going around, which is, I believe it's a salmonella. And we were goofing on it on the show. And I was saying, because they said the birds can't congregate around feeders. And sure enough, it was just like people can't congregate in a restaurant or bar. So I said, let's get the birds little tiny masks and we'll get them little booties for their feet. And sure enough, a week ago Saturday, my bird feeder's been unbelievably active, and it was almost empty of seed. So I went to fill it, and then I always come and wash my hands really good after I touch the bird feeder. And then Sunday, I got sick, and Monday, I was going to do the show, and I couldn't think straight. It was I told my wife, I said, this is not a normal sickness, because I never get sick anyway, but it looks like I contracted what can be spread from these bird feeders. And I don't know if it's a salmonella or if humans can get the bird flu or what, but I couldn't think straight. I was going to do the show if I was sick, But I couldn't think straight a week ago Monday. And then, I'm not going to get sick from the vaccine. And then 2 days ago, or three days ago, I get the second vaccine shot. And it knocked me out. And I couldn't do the show Monday. And
unfortunately, you're a mere mortal like the rest of us.
Well,
because you literally kept saying you're a man of steel. You wouldn't be affected by it. And I was like, oh. I appreciate your positive thinking going into it. And I do think that that's helpful, your mental state going into it. But
it's just that, and it's not that I think that I'm invincible, but I do believe that your mental attitude, you know, if you believe you can do something, you're right. And if you believe you can't do something, you're right. And so I always take this approach that I'm not going to get sick. I'm not going to get this. But, you know, stuff that I've goofed on, especially the bird one, those things bit me hard in the last couple of weeks. And I'm just not used to that. So I'm sick of all of this. That's the bottom line. I'm sick for your 40th birthday. I'm sick for Kayla and her wedding. I'm sick for everybody who's had, you know, even worse losses than what we're... And I recognize there are a lot of people who have had far worse losses that, you know, put ours to shame. But
absolutely.
We got to get past this, man. Okay. Let's get into the Fastest 15 here. We're going to talk next hour with a state senator because we got a report yesterday that the fraud at unemployment insurance agency in our state, they said it was $650 million. They now believe after a state audit, and remember, ESD did everything to keep the state auditor from looking into the books. They delayed for months. And that is why I believe this is an inside job. And that I hope the FBI is involved. I think there should be a full-blown criminal investigation because they now believe that Nigerian scammers, wink, wink, took over $1 billion from the taxpayers of Washington. And we're going to talk to a state rep right at the beginning, or senator, I mean, Jeff Wilson. And he says it confirms suspicions of widespread dysfunction. I think it's far worse than dysfunction. I think that this, if the reason they didn't report the loss right away, they waited 3 weeks to bring in the FBI. Susie Levine gets promoted to the Biden administration. So, I mean, somebody should go to prison over this. $1 billion lost of taxpayer money. And Susie Levine, she was supposed to be a tech genius. She worked for all these high-tech companies. And that was one of the reasons that Jay Inslee brought her in. But they slow-rolled giving up any public records disclosure documents between Inslee and Levine. They waited 3 weeks to let the FBI know about this. I wonder what they were doing with those 3 weeks. Might it have been a massive cover-up? And now we find out that they told us it was $650 million, but the auditor, who they stonewalled for months, says it was over $1 billion. And one more thing. Why can we keep calling them Nigerian scammers? And that's not racist, but if we call it the China flu, racist! Can somebody explain any of these things to me, please? Because none of it makes sense. But I'll talk to the state senator about that next hour because I think people should end up going to prison over this. All right, next up in the Fastest 15. Yesterday, we played for you part one. Project Veritas got an undercover camera, an audio, with a director at CNN. And what we found out was that CNN, just admittedly, this guy says their sole mission as a network, as an enterprise, was to get rid of Donald Trump. And so they skewed everything Here's a little bit from yesterday's, and then I'll play part two for you coming up in a moment.
I think we got him through this term. We would always show shots of him jogging. Him in aviator shades, and like you paint him as a young geriatric.
We were creating.
Okay, that's a technical director at CNN, and he says, yeah, we always showed Biden with his aviator shades and jogging, made him look young. He doesn't look young now. They created a false image, a horribly incorrect image of Joe Biden, who is struggling right now cognitively. But their only goal as a network, well, you know, the world's most important, the world's most trusted name in news, they just wanted to bring down
stories that we didn't know anything about. So I think that's
probably it. I think what we did, we got Trump back. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out.
Our focus was.
Okay. We got Trump out of there. If it hadn't been for CNN, I don't know if Trump would have been voted out. That's the audio that was released yesterday. New audio today from Project Veritas, from the same technical director, explaining how CNN, now that they got rid of Trump, they have a new mission, and it is even a further left mission. They are going to go all out on climate change.
COVID gangbusters.
Oh, yeah. And he also talks about how COVID became their other big story. And they exaggerated the numbers. They had the counter up on the screen constantly to try to make COVID look as bad as possible to try to take down the
Raiders. COVID gangbusters of Raiders, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side. Let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher.
Fear. Like, fear really drives numbers. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah. No one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious.
You're about to see is so shocking. Admissions about COVID, its impact, the bias, and things that we've all suspected but have never been able to confirm until now.
Sad news doesn't do well with ratings, you know, like if you can get someone impassioned, that does really well with ratings. Sad news back to back to back doesn't do really well unless it affects them directly. COVID, gangbusters of ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side, which I have a major problem with, that we're tallying how many people die every day. Because I've even...
Look, they did it for ratings. They did it because they wanted to create as much fear. They wanted to control. This is a huge problem for CNN and how they've taken a blow in their credibility. And now that we know that they state that their next goal is to exaggerate climate change, so everybody will.
And once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate. It's going to be our focus. Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Who just signs that?
Head of the network,
Who's that? Is that Zucker?
Yeah.
Jeff Zucker. Jeff Zucker decides all of these things. CNN decides what the agenda for the country is, who the president will be, how fearful people will be from COVID, and next, climate change. They're going to try to make you believe that you're all going to be underwater in the next 8 years. Shameful. The world's worst network, CNN. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
Hey, it's Wednesday afternoon. That's when Brock Huard drops by for a visit. So we'll visit with Brock next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Ooh, it hit. Check, 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 check. Brown 24 Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell. Lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up. Making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Here's Dory Monson.
Well, it is Wednesday afternoon, and that means it's time for our weekly visit with our good friend, Brock Huard. Good afternoon, my friend.
How are you in the glorious sunshine in the Pacific Northwest, Dory?
Well, I'm okay now. We'll get back to me in a minute. But first of all, hit it, Sean. So, kind of a milestone birthday for you tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, 50.
No, it's not.
Well, you round up 45. I mean, couldn't I might as well be having to wear.
Yeah, that's true.
Having to wear reader's glasses. I was mopping the floor again today, thinking about you. Every time I pull the mop out, I think of you.
You should.
Yeah. So, yeah, seriously, I mean, 44, you round down to 40. I still feel 40. 45 tomorrow. The old tax day, you round up to 50, and I'm feeling 50, Dory. Feeling 50.
Yeah. Well, I haven't really filled you in, but I thought I was always going to be bulletproof, Brock.
Yeah.
I took a sick day Monday because I got that Moderna second vaccine.
Yeah.
It knocked me on my butt for about a day and a half, and I don't know what's happening, Brock, but I can tell you one thing. Use me as your model. Getting old is no bargain, mister.
No, it is not. No, it is not. You slept. I mean, Dory, you finally slept. So maybe that's the maybe that's what we need to just knock you consistently with the second shot of Moderna to get you to sleep. Forget the other stuff.
I said to my wife, I should go get a Moderna shot every Sunday.
Yes.
Just so I can get caught up on my sleep. But here's, you want to hear the weird thing? I haven't admitted this to anybody. I did something I've never done before. I was talking in my sleep, and my wife said I was like doing the fastest 15. And I did like four stories, and then I go, and there's your fastest 15. And I was talking as plain as can be, but I was sound asleep.
Did she video it?
I wish she had, actually.
I do, too.
And then she said between 5:10 and 5:30 a.m., I was talking about Dave Niehaus.
Wow.
And she said it was like I was doing a section from my live show. And
oh, you are a mess.
I don't know, bro.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, I thought the vaccine was the good idea, and I think I still do. But,
yeah.
But man, it messed me up.
It knocked you out. It knocked you out. Yeah, well, hopefully it's, well, what are you now, 50, 51, 52?
Yeah.
53? Yeah. 54.
Yeah, keep going. I'm getting up there.
Okay.
Getting up.
Well, good. I'm glad you're feeling better now. No more sick days. Let's go. We got a lot to do.
Exactly. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about you because you did one of those lifetime goals things last week. Tell everybody where you were.
I was in Augusta, Georgia, where the azaleas were in full bloom. Where the Masters was going on, Dory, and it was extraordinary. Everything that you have heard about it, and people will say, oh, it's a bucket list deal. And I got the invite just a couple weeks ago, actually. My friends at Compassion International had gotten some tickets donated to them for the final round. And as I've kind of partnered with them and got to know them, and I spent the weekend with their president, Jimmy Milano, just had an absolute blast with him. A couple other players that had been giving to the Fill the Stadium initiative and cause. And man, oh, live, did we have a good time. And I don't know if I'll ever go again. I think I'm going to finally take my father-in-law's advice. My father-in-law, Larry, likes to say, so, you know, like if you go on an amazing trip, if you go someplace, when I took him to Sitka, you know, he had an unbelievable time. He's like, that's good. I'm good. I'm not doing it again. Like, it will never be that good. And I don't think the Masters, A, because there were only 5,000 of us instead of 50,000. B, there were no grandstands. C, the weather was impeccable. D, it was as beautiful as it's ever been. I just don't know if I've ever have to do it again because it really was that amazing of a memory.
Well, and I would think not having a massive crowd and being able to get any kind of viewing spot. I mean, I watched the whole thing, and it looked like it would be the best time ever to go see a tournament.
Yeah, and I was chatting with a few of the folks that had been there a few times, and they were like, you just don't even know how good this is. I mean, I was walking anywhere and everywhere. I was chatting up some of the golfers. A few of them are partners with Compassion as well. Met some of their family. I mean, it was just simply extraordinary. And, you know, I did think of you a couple times because, A, you love to say, hey, you love those moments to make you feel alive. And this certainly did. Yes. And then, B, Dory, just they're not afraid to be excellent. They're not afraid to do everything right. So, I mean, from the minute you walk in, there was an old gal outside security, and I will remember her voice forever. And she's barking at us as we come in. She said, don't do it. Don't you do it. I'll laugh at you on your walk of shame because you can't bring, you can't bring your camera. You can't bring your phone. You can't bring anything in there. And they have such detailed security and everything. So if you try to, you know, through all means, try to get it in, you're doing the walk of shame and you're never to return again. And she's going to mock you. I mean, that was your first little taste of this, like they're on every detail. The gift shop has a FedEx or UPS shipping center attached to it. So anything you buy, you don't lug around. They're like, no, we'll ship it to your home address. Just, you know, give us your goodie bag and we'll send it to you. I mean, there was no lines. The concession stand were like a cafeteria. The food's dirt cheap.
Hold on. Yeah. My Masters sweatshirt has not yet arrived.
Well, I didn't know if you were large or XL still. Like, I didn't, you know, there's no taking it back. Like, you buy it once. So I didn't know where we were on the spectrum of things since we hung out. But, man, it was
the subject.
Yeah. But it was a special, special occasion and one I'll never forget.
Well, and I will say, a lot of people goof on them because they're not allowed to call the fans or the gallery fans and gallery. They have to call them patrons, and they can't call the longer grass the rough.
Right.
It's the, what do they say? First cut?
Yep.
Or the
yep.
second cut?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people make fun of that. I like that there is still somebody who's willing to hold on to some old-time just niceties.
Yes.
Why
and
not?
You know, and you know what else? It is about scarcity, too, Dory. I didn't realize. They shut that course down June, July, August, September. A member doesn't set foot on it. Nobody does. Like, it is a privilege. Even the members, who, by the way, all wear their green jacket, not that they want it, but they're members, they got the invite, they're walking around. I saw Condoleezza Rice, your lady, said hello to her, and some of the other members walking around. The members, they don't get to play unlimited. You can't just call and say, oh, yeah, I'd like to play. The members get 12 to 15 guests a year. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those just special places that's built on scarcity, that's built on attention to detail, that's built on excellence that I, for one, really loved.
That's very cool. Hey, one other thing. This came down while I was on the air yesterday. The Seahawks, along with two other teams, maybe there have been more since then.
There have been more now.
There are more now. Okay, but they said first round of off-season voluntary workouts they will not participate in, which is strength training, conditioning, meetings with coaches. And I assume all of that is designed to help build the champion, but they said that they're still afraid of COVID.
No.
What's the real story? Because they got through the whole season last year without one positive test because they were doing everything right. And I'm thinking, man, if these guys, are they getting soft? Do they care more about the money they're making?
Yeah. Well, two things, Dory. Yeah. So number one, lots of them are already there working out. So this is not about COVID. There's 22 Broncos that have been working out regularly at their complex. Lots of guys. All the young guys can't wait. All the guys that are trying to make it, which is more than half the team, that doesn't have guaranteed contracts, right? That doesn't have big signing bonuses. They want to get back. So this is the veterans, and this is a pissing match that's gone public. So the owners added a 17th game to next regular season, and they want to get back to work here April 19th. They want to begin the offseason, and the players and them have just been hammering behind the scenes, negotiating, bargaining, and now the players finally made it public. So this is, I think, their kind of last hurrah in this negotiation, because they don't want to go back to work. They don't want to have a regular offseason. They don't want to do that. And obviously the coaches do, the owners do, and we will see just how this match plays out in public. As it's not good. It's not good in the public perception. It's not good for the game. It's not good for the players, and it's not good for the majority of them that do want to be there and try to make their mark and earn their living.
Here's what struck me. The first two teams to announce this were the Seahawks and the Broncos. You lived in suburban Seattle. You've moved to suburban Denver.
Yes.
Do you just bring wimpiness with you? You were just Augusta. Are the Atlanta Falcons the next team that's going to go soft now?
Oh, do you want to fly out here and try to walk up my hill? You want to talk? Did you call me wimpy? Is that what you just did?
No, I didn't call you wimpy. I asked if you spread
that. Wimpiness follows me, yes. Because when I fly my friends out, like Dory, they can't even walk up my hill anymore. So, yeah, everything I touch now just becomes wimpy. Yes, I guess you're right.
You flew me out? I get a bill for the airfare. What does that mean?
True.
When I fly my friends out. Oh, yeah, Brock sent his private jet for me. All right, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it. Happy early birthday tomorrow.
Love you, Dory.
Love you too. All right, Brock Heward joining us, and we have lots more to come. I fly my friends out here.
Jeez. Rolls on.
I want to apologize to a minister. Her name is Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes. She has a piece in a book that's on the New York Times bestseller list right now. The book is titled A Rhythm of Prayer, A Collection of Meditations for Renewal. So the book was on the bestseller list, according to its Amazon page. And the opening paragraph from this minister, it's Prayer of a Weary Black Woman. Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them, individually and collectively. I want to stop caring about their misguided, racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can stop being racist. And that goes on from there. I just wanted to apologize to her because I understand that it is almost impossible to hate me. And I know how hard I make that because I am just so darn lovable. And if that causes grief for somebody like you who's praying to God to hate me, well, then I will accept some complicity in my lovableness and how it's tortured you. So anyway, I hope they'll get things straight between me and Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes. Man, then I've had so many listeners send me this editorial from the UW Daily. When I was a student at the University of Washington, the Daily, let me just say, I don't think they had a couple of people who ended up being professional journalists. But like my wife, who became a professional journalist and a reporter at the Seattle Times not long after graduation. She didn't write for the Daily because it was just junk. But there were a couple of people who went on to have pretty notable careers. I think Jim Capel, who's had a great career as a sports writer for ESPN and others. I think he wrote for the Daily when we were students together there. But the Daily, man, here's their editorial. Spring break reminded me I can't trust white people. That's the headline. And it talks about how much they hate the whites of Greek Row because they would go on spring break vacations in the footsteps of their violent white supremacist ancestors. They traveled to Hawaii and Mexico, endangering the lives of local communities for the sake of their own aesthetic pleasure. It is probably the most racist thing I've ever read in something that is supposedly for a mainstream audience. The University of Washington Daily Newspaper. Lots of students at the UW, one of the biggest enrollments in the country. And, man, racism is in full bloom this spring, apparently. All right, so we're going to take a quick time out, check the news for you, and then Big Lead at 2 is coming up next.